Again, speaking about the Word of God and the laws of God, the psalmist David could say, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And as you read through the Bible, you'll see that the Bible tells you and I about God. It teaches us about God. It reveals God to us. It tells us about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It tells you and I how God created this world in 6 literal days. It tells you and I also about the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time through yielding to the temptation of the serpent, Satan himself. The Bible also tells us how God chose Israel from among the nations of the world to be a people, a peculiar people unto himself. It also tells us about the Ten Commandments. Those commandments which are God's moral law for every society, right to the very end of time and for every age. But I believe the matter that makes the Bible so special, and indeed so blessed, is because of the fact that it shows man, whoever that man is, wherever he is to be found, it shows man how he can be saved from his sin and the awful ruin of his sin, how he can be made right with God, and how he can be made sure of God's heaven one day. My Paul spoke to Timothy that very fact when he said to Timothy, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And Paul there was telling Timothy true what he'd heard and learned and been taught in the scriptures. He was shown the way of salvation for him. Also think of the message of the angel to Joseph about Christ. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Again, there the Word of God tells us how Christ came to be our Savior. You think again of the words of Christ himself to Zacchaeus, the little tax collector in Jericho. What did the Lord say to him? He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And there again we are shown from the Word of God how Christ has come to be the Savior. Think of the message of Peter to the religious Jews of his days and the days of Pentecost, when he spoke to them about Christ the Messiah. And he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And there Peter was making it very clear to those Jews that were gathered around him that day that the only way of salvation for them was through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And my, it is the same great theme of salvation through Christ that is spoken about in our text here this morning in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 7, where it says of Christ, "He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." In this chapter here before us, the apostle is setting forth to the Hebrew believers the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest of his people. And by using the example of the Old Testament priest Melchizedek, the apostle here tells us how Christ is more excellent than all the Old Testament priests of Aaron's line. And by the excellency of Christ here is seen in the fact that he was perfect. He was without sin. Look at what is said about him in verse 26. It says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." His excellency is also seen in the fact that God confirmed his priesthood with an oath. Look at verse number 20 of the chapter. It says, "And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest." In other words, his priesthood was confirmed by an oath, by a promise from God himself. And my His Excellency is also seen in the fact that He is an unchanging priest, a high priest who never changes. Look at verse number 24, immediately before our text. It says, "But this man," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "because He continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." My, it is in the midst of this tremendous passage highlighting and extolling the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest and the great high priest of His people, that we find these wonderful words about how man can experience salvation from sin through this same great high priest. And you see that in our text, verse 25, "Wherefore," in other words, an account of all that has been said of Christ and all that concerns Christ, "wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." And as those words I want us to look at today, and as we do so, there are three things I want you to note today. But the wonderful blessing that there is to be found through salvation in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, here the people whom the Lord saves from sin. Look at what our verse says there, verse 25. It says, "Wherefore He is able to save them," notice the words, that come unto God by Him. And here the apostle is speaking to you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the people who will be saved from their sin, notice what it says there, are those, it says, who come unto God, it says there, through Christ. And that leads you and I to ask a very important question. What does it mean for a person to come unto God through Christ? Sometimes in the news, or maybe in the daily paper, sometimes you will read maybe of an industrial dispute between the workers of a certain firm and maybe the managers or the owners of that firm. And that dispute is resolved through a mediator. The mediator goes between and brings the two factions together to a place of unity and a place of oneness and accord. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one whom God Himself has appointed to mediate between God and sinful man. What does it say about Christ in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5? "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator between us and God." You remember those lovely words and powerful words of Christ in John 14, verse 6, when He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Therefore, whenever a person comes unto God for salvation through Christ, that person is one who realizes that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who can save them from their sins. And by faith alone, they ask the Lord Jesus Christ personally to save them from their sins. That's how it was with the dying thief who was crucified beside our Lord. When he cried out, "Lord, remember me." My, he realized that only the Lord Jesus Christ could save him from his sin. Hence, in the final moments of his life, he cried out to the Lord in faith to save him. "Lord, remember me," he said. Think of the testimony of the hymn writer. "I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Savior, lifted me. Now safe am I." What was the hymn writer testifying there? Of the very fact that they recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it's the only one who could save them from their sins. Hence, they cried out, they called upon the Lord. And this is what it means for a person to come unto God through Christ. You see, such realize that they cannot be saved from their sins by any self-righteousness of themselves or by any work of self or man. Such realize that they are bound for hell because of the awful guilt and reality of their sin. My such, yes, have a desire to be delivered from the awful bondage and burden of their sin. And with that realization, they call out in simple childlike faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to save them from their sins. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this. This is what you too must do. If you are to be saved from your sins, the guilt of your sin and the ruin of your sin and the penalty of your sin, my realizing that you cannot be saved by yourself or by anything of self or of man, realizing that you cannot be saved from a lost eternity and hell through anything that you might ever do or man might ever do, My realizing that in and of yourselves you cannot break free from the awful fetters and burden of sin that binds your life, that controls your life, that drives your life. You must look away from yourself by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and call out in faith unto Him to be your Savior and to save you from your sins. This is what the psalmist did. For he could say in Psalm 34, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Tell me, have you ever called upon the Lord to save you from your sin? Have you ever realized that you're a lost sinner before a holy God? Have you ever realized that your sin is taking you down to a lost eternity in hell? Have you ever realized that there's nothing in you or of man or of man's device or works that can save you from your sins? Oh, have you realized today that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, the only mediator between God and man, that can save you from your sins? Yes, the people whom the Lord saves, those who come unto God through Christ. Notice secondly here from our verse today, notice the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save from sin. What a power it is. Just look at what our verse says there in Hebrews 7, verse 25. It says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. If you have a Bible with a central margin, you'll see that little phrase there, to the uttermost, literally means forever and more. In other words, forever and ever and ever. What does that teach you and I about the Lord? It shows you and I the wonderful power, the wonderful ability of the Lord Jesus Christ to save from sin. It surely highlights to you and I the wonderful sufficiency of the Lord's salvation. It reveals to your heart and to my heart that God's salvation is an eternal salvation. It's an everlasting work of grace in the human heart. What does the Bible tell us about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 5, verse 9? It says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. This little phrase here, to the uttermost, it tells us how God's salvation, it's a complete work. In other words, there's nothing left for man to do. Nothing left for man, as it were, to put his hand to the work of salvation. And friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is able, I tell you, to save you from the guilt of all your sins, whatever those sins are. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, all your sins, every single sin that you have ever committed, can be forgiven by Almighty God. That's the wonder of the gospel. You think of Saul of Tarsus this morning. He had the blood of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, upon his hands. He was consenting to the stoning of Stephen to death. Yet through trusting Christ as a Savior, God forgave Saul of Tarsus from that awful sin of the murder of Stephen, along with all his other sins that he'd ever committed. You remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church about Christ? He said, "Of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace." How was Paul or Saul of Tarsus' sins forgiven? All his sins were forgiven by God. How? By trusting in Christ, by the atoning blood of Christ. His sins were all forgiven. And likewise, no matter who you are in this gathering today, if you trust Christ as your Savior, what will God do with your sins? He will pardon. God will forgive all your sins. We were singing that psalm earlier, Psalm 103. And what does the psalmist say there about his sins? Further on down that psalm, he says of the Lord, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us." There David was praising God for the forgiveness of all of his sins. Likewise, if you trust Christ as your Savior, God will forgive all your sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only is the Lord able to forgive all your sins, also the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, is able to save you from the very power of sin that controls your life. He can give you a new life, a new start in this world. He can give you grace to live for him, grace that will enable you to repent of your sin and to turn away from your sin. He will give you grace that can change your life and enable you day by day to live to the glory of God, to turn away from things that you once loved and to love things that you maybe once hated or no care or concern for. Does not the Bible say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature? Turn with me your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and the verse number 8. And look at this wonderful promise here regarding the grace of God in salvation, how it changes our lives when we trust Christ as our Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse number 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all good things, may abound," notice it, "unto every good work." May the grace of God is able to set you free, able to liberate your soul, enable you to live for God, to live the Christian life. Maybe you've often been thinking about getting saved, yet you've said, "Oh, I could never keep it." And that is true. You and I in ourselves could never keep our salvation. But don't let that hold you back from coming to Christ and committing your soul and faith to Christ for salvation. You trust Christ. You lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith. And the Lord, by his grace, will keep you and change you and enable you to live for him and for the glory of God. My Billy Sunday was a young man who lived for sport. He lived for the sinful pleasures of this world. One Sunday afternoon, he was in a pub and a bar in the city of Chicago where he lived. And that Sunday afternoon, he heard an open-air gospel witness in the street outside. Believers faithfully witnessing for the Lord and witnessing of the message of God's salvation. And he heard that message that afternoon. And that afternoon, Billy Sunday put his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And that day he was saved. The Lord changed his life around dramatically. He went on to become, yes, a great preacher and evangelist of the gospel. Was to take a great stand against the drinking of alcohol in his day. And God blessed him and God used him. You see, it was God who changed his life. And the Lord can change your life as well. What does it say here in our text? He is able to save to the uttermost. There's no limit with God. Does not the hymn writer say it is no secret what God can do? What he's done for others, he can do for you. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you from the very penalty of your sin in hell and take you one day to heaven. Look at what the apostle says here to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number 19 of this chapter before us, Hebrews 7, verse 19. He says, for the law made nothing perfect. And then he goes on here to speak of Christ. And listen to these tremendous words. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. What is that better hope? That better hope is the hope of everlasting life, eternal life, a home in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Savior. And my, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, he gives you the hope of eternal life in heaven. He saves you from a lost eternity in hell. He saves you from the lake of fire. And he assures you of a place in God's heaven. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Does not the Bible tell us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? The hymn writer rightly says, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Oh, my friend, in our meeting this morning, realize this, he is able to bring you to heaven. That's the reality of the gospel. He's able to bring you, whoever you are, to heaven. He can deal with your sin. He can pardon your sin. He can save your soul. He can fit you for heaven. This is the power of the cross, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says there, he is able to save to the very uttermost. Oh, the people whom the Lord saves, are you one of those people in our meeting? The power of the Lord to save, have you experienced his saving power in your life? Notice one final thought just from our verse today. Notice the reason why the Lord can save from sin. You look at the very end of our verse, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and look at what it says there about Christ. It says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What do those words mean? They remind you and I about Christ and his great high priestly work. And it's on account of this great high priestly work of Christ, that he is able to save you and I from our sins. What does that work entail? What does it mean? And really, if you like, two aspects to his high priestly work. There is his work on earth as our great high priest. What did that work entail? What did Jesus Christ do here on earth to save the sinner? Well, as the sinless Son of God, he died upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood, as we were singing about earlier on, as an atonement to provide a covering for our sins. Look at verse 27 of this chapter. It says, of the priests of men, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for others. For this he did once. This is Christ he's speaking about. This he did once when he offered up himself. He offered up himself on the cross for our sins. As he hung upon the cross, he consumed the fire of God's wrath for all of his people. And by this he made a way for sinners to be reconciled to God. A way for sinners to be saved from the penalty of their sin in a lost eternity in hell. Turn the page in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 26, the final part of that verse speaks of Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. This is why Christ can save, because he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of his own self. and my evidence that God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice as sufficient to redeem man from his sin is seen in the fact that Christ rose again the third day from the grave, never to die again. You look at what the apostle says there of Christ in Hebrews chapter 7 and the verse number 16. He said, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but notice it, after the power, he says, of Christ, of an endless life. Well, Christ is alive forevermore. This is his great work on earth to the salvation of sinners. And that leads us on to his high priestly work in heaven. What is that work? Yes, Christ died. Christ was buried. But Christ rose again the third day. And what happened? He entered into heaven to the right hand of the majesty of God on high. And there he continually intercede before God, pleading the merits of his blood, his perfect righteousness, for the salvation of sinners. It says in our text that he ever liveth, notice it, to make intercession for them. Turn again over to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at what is said about Christ in verse number 12 and verse 24 of the chapter. It says, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, that's into heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. You think of the scene in a courtroom when the lawyer pleads for his client before the judge or the magistrate sitting at the court of law. So in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is continually praying. He is continually interceding before God on the behalf of all those who will trust him as Savior. That's what Christ is doing at this very moment in heaven, interceding for the behalf of his people before God. And it's all because of Christ's death upon the cross, because of his glorious resurrection, because of his continual intercession in heaven, that he is able to save you and I to the uttermost from all of our sins. You go back again to Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse number 24 and verse 25. Put the two verses there together. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore, on account of that eternal priesthood, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And my, it is Christ, I tell you, our great high priest, who does all the saving. And it is Christ, our great high priest, who does all the keeping. And my, if you are to experience the riches of God's salvation in your life, then you must come unto God through Christ, now in time by faith to Christ. Call upon him for salvation as a repentant sinner. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The hymn writer says, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Come ye needy, come and welcome. God's free bounty glorify, true belief and true repentance, every grace that brings you nigh, without money, come to Jesus Christ and buy. If you're not saved today, oh, that you would come unto God through Christ. Lift up your heart in prayer to the Lord. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying for you upon the cross. Ask him to save you and to cleanse you by his precious blood that he shed for sinners and shed for rebels such as you and me upon the cross of Calvary. We're going to close our meeting this morning.